We're Cynthia Vargavisser and Michelle Walters, co-hosts of Mind Power Meets Mystic.
Our weekly show is here to expand your mind to what's possible,
to uplift your spirits, to move forward with confidence and joy,
and to create a space for your collaboration with the invisible.
Welcome to Mind Power Meets Mystic.
Welcome to Mind Power Meets Mystic. You're here for another episode with me, Michelle Walters. I'm the Mind Power, and my podcast pal, Cynthia Vargavisser. She is our resident show mystic. We are continuing on our little trend about talking about decluttering because it is spring and it is a good time to think about decluttering. Not that there's ever really a bad time, but spring's kind of one of those traditional times when people think about it. And we already did an episode talking about physically clearing things up and time-wise clearing things up. So today's episode is going to be talking about clearing up the mind and emotions, which is a huge part of the work that Cynthia and I do with our clients. So Cynthia, what is one way that you help clients in terms of decluttering their emotions or what's on their mind?
What I find happens is that people tend to splinter. They have a connected thought, but then they tend to splinter. So I will use one of my favorite examples is someone wants to do something in business. And is this true to my heart too? And then what happens is that they want to do, you know, something that's a veer to the left part of their business, a veer to the right part of their business. And it's not like they can't do it. But what we do is we need to find the unifying thought so that they can go ahead and pursue all those things. So what I do is, or what we do is that we work together to find the unifying thought. And then based on that unifying thought, they get to decide, the client gets to decide whether or not they're going to fortify what they're working on right now, or if it's time to jump off and do those other things.
So that's really interesting. Working on a unifying thought, because actually, I don't usually work that way with my clients. It's actually quite different. My clients often show up saying, I'm here to stop this behavior. I'm here to let go of obsessing about this person. I'm here to, and they're working on something very particular. Mm-hmm. And so what we got to do is get rid of that. In terms of either the emotional connections or the physical behaviors or the mental connections they have with something. So it's not so much unifying. It's really more like subtracting.
And it totally makes sense to me. And this is a really weird way to look at it, but there are two different therapies in handwriting analysis. One is that you start from, you look at the whole page holistically, and then you work your way in. And the other one is that you find something very particular and then you work the way out. And I think that's exactly what we're saying is that you have the one that you go from something very particular and then you'll work your way out. And I'm the one where you work holistically and work your way in. And that totally makes sense because there are so many different types of people in the world, right? So the thing that I'm really curious about, because what's happening is for you, when they have something very particular, once you start picking away at it and again, working your way out, do your clients find that they all of a sudden realize that they have another thing or, you know, a broader thing or maybe even a deeper thing so that they keep moving towards that core value or the core challenge?
I would say that happens sometimes. It doesn't happen all the time, but it certainly has happened that working with a client on a particular thing, like we make progress on that, but then discover that there's something else that needs to be mm-hmm. worked on, right? And so usually when that happens, I kind of define them as separate projects with my clients. So we mm-hmm. work on one project, we make the change looking for there, we get that to a place where it's good and stable, and then we can look at sort of working on subsequent projects. It just seems to work a little bit better that way. The subconscious doesn't mind working on two projects at once if it thinks that they're really connected. Mm-hmm. But if those two projects are pretty different, then the subconscious is like, what are we trying to do here? And it's right. Not that it gets confused. So I find it more productive to work on one thing at a time.
That makes sense. That completely makes sense. I'm curious though, that as your clients are working on their thing, because it takes more than one, right? It takes more than one.
Usually. Yeah.
But it doesn't take that many, right?
No, most of my clients see progress in just a few sessions.
Right. And then after that, have you found that they say, oh, okay, so this part of my life became more organized, more uniform, more something, and I want to keep going, right? Because we're talking about decluttering. So have they found that there's something else that is loosely connected then?
Some of them do. Some of them, you know, have kind of time and money budgeted for working on a particular project and then, you know, want to take a little break, step aside from that for a period of time. And then some of my clients, you know, have had things resurface in unexpected ways. And they give me a call and I need to come back and do a little touch up, do a little, why is this happening kind of thing. So, I mean, that doesn't happen all the time, but it happens occasionally. But oftentimes, you know, I work with my clients for a few sessions and we get them cleared up and then I don't hear from them, which generally means that things are going pretty well, that they're pretty satisfied. So what about you? So you start with this kind of unifying big picture thought. How does that work for your clients? Do your clients just keep working against that big picture thought, or how does that go?
No, it's actually to do a big unifying thought in that way is so daunting. So what we do is we find the connections in different parts of their life. So let's say they want to declutter I have one client who always talks about work, right? And that their challenges are always work related and their relationships and work. I am not about to talk about the unifying thought, like the core challenge for that person. So what we do is that we talk about work and we talk about different ways to clarify what's really going on with work. So, you know, what's their responsibility or what's their gut issue? And then what we find is that we are 100% of who we are 100% of the time. So then when the trust is established in themselves, then we'll talk about their personal life and we can go into their family life. And then they get to decide where they want to do their homework in this decluttering. If it feels too intimidating to really confront this challenging thing at work, then we find a similar sitch in their family life. And then they can work on that because they're much more confident. Mm-hmm. And right. And then as they untangle the thing that's happening that they're focusing on, then the thing that's been in their face starts untangling on its own as well. So that's the philosophy that it works. And then we jump again because we know that there's an even deeper challenge if my client is ready and willing.
That's one of the things I love about the way you work with your clients is you often give them sort of homework or prescription, or I don't know what you call it, but something to keep going with. And I think it would be fun for you to talk about sort of what maybe an example of what that kind of work looks like for someone you might be working with.
Sure. I love it. I actually love homework. I actually hate homework. Let's just be real. I hate homework. And I don't know why I hate it, but I'm vehement, right? Vehemently, I hate homework, but I do love giving these three-step RXs. So if you know me, I say I max out at 7 rules. So anything that has too many rules, you've lost me. And if there's, you know, Cynthia, have at it, then I'm like floundering. So 3 works for me, which is why I give 3. I believe that, you know, law of attraction, that my clients will be the same way. So I'm trying to think of a really easy, not easy, but a recent one where we do a 3-thing RX. Oh, so one of the 3 things, I had a client a female who really didn't feel appreciated. And so she had all these thoughts and stories about work and how she wasn't being appreciated. And then we talked about her responsibility of it, which is, hey, do you know how to take in a compliment gracefully? Right? The other side, the flip side of it, right? Flipping the switch, flipping the thought. And once we get to that point, then we do three things around being able to take something gracefully. The other thing that happens is when people tend to be a little bit resentful or not feeling seen or heard, is that they don't know how to ask for help. And so the RX usually goes something as simple as this. I don't care if the salt on the dinner table, I don't care if the salt's right in front of you, ask someone to pass you the salt. It's really ridiculous. Ask someone to open the door for you. So they don't have to be really big asks. It's about getting into the practice of asking. And then for gratitudes, when we realize, because a lot of people like to deflect their compliments. I just asked my client this morning, they said, I don't think I am bad at accepting compliments. I said, well, if I say, wow, that's a really lovely blouse, do you say, oh, I got it on sale at so-and-so? And they said, well, yeah. And I said, so now the challenge is to just take a deep breath, say thank you, and then take another deep breath, because it's really about accepting the compliment. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing is to recognize and tell people that they do their own good work. So they have to pat themselves on their back every time that they can. So they're simple. They are not easy RXs, but they are very simple things that can be done every day.
Well, I hear you. And it's in my book. Well, my book is An Alignment of Spirit, Finding Work You Love. And one of the things I talk about is receiving, because there are people who are not good receivers. And if you're not a good receiver, like the lady who needs to mention that she bought her blouse on sale, as opposed to just saying thank you, you got to learn how to get out of that habit, because it's not doing you any favors. You're not playing the game the way we all need everybody to play the game. So,
right. It's really incredible that in one sentence, they can someone can recognize themselves as well as take the compliment. So I asked her, I said, you look really fit. I said, what do you do? Do you talk about your eating habits or your exercise regimen? She goes, yeah. And I said, how about saying, hey, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for noticing. I've been working really hard, you know? So it's a really lovely way to unify. And then what it does is that it declutters a lot of the thoughts of, you know, people. And because, you know, when we have our stories, it's not just one person that's messing with us in our reality. It's a bunch of people that are messing with us. You know,
I want to take this quick moment to remind all of our listeners that they are listening to Mind Power Meets Mystic with me, Michelle Walters, and my co-host, Cynthia Varkavisser. We are now on YouTube. So if you are watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And if you are listening to this as a podcast, please rate and review and write us a little review, because we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know what you like about our show, what we can do more of or less of. We really want to hear from our audience. So, Cynthia, how does the decluttering of the mind relate to other kinds of decluttering, like decluttering of the space?
Ooh, I think I'd have to go backwards. So it'd be decluttering the space to declutter the mind, right?
Okay.
The thing about decluttering the space is it's all about really removing things that don't serve you, or, you know, actually it's just no longer serve you for whatever reason. One is that it's no longer useful. It's no longer an emotional attachment. It's no longer beautiful, I think is a good way of saying it. Which is all this is, it's all, you know, variations of the same thing. And so the thing that I love to do is when people are attached emotionally, we won't even go into the energy of it, of that item. is to say, okay, what is it that you, you know, it goes a little bit beyond Marie Kondo's spark joy, right? Because all she says is hold it close. And if it sparks joy, keep it. And if it doesn't, that doesn't really help with the part of, but I'm still attached to it. It doesn't spark joy, but I'm still attached. And so what we do is we like, what's the attachment? Are you attached to the color? Are you attached to the person who gave it to you? And then based on that, we can either move it to a different place or, you know, that kind of thing. And what happens is by understanding what we're really looking for in our space, it helps us free up our mind so that whatever space we have intended, like I don't want to do work in my bedroom. So I don't want any work shit in my bedroom, right? Or anything that even looks like work, right? And I don't want any, well, I'm not going to say I don't want sexy business in my kitchen, right? Because everybody knows that they want a little sexy business in their kitchen. But, you know, there's certain things I wouldn't want in my kitchen without going into the explicit rated X version that I know that I think I earned, but I'm not going there. So, and so by doing this, and in our home, we have set up these environments that we walk in and our home is in agreement with our energy. And then we get to stay as clear as possible.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too. The thing that I really love about you, Michelle, is that you know how to pierce through someone's challenge, and you have your own type of RX. You do it by telling someone just how amazing they are and what their gifts are, and then you remind them how they can use those gifts. How does that apply to you for decluttering for your clients and friends?
I think with an awful lot of my clients, they're kind of here because they're looking for peace. They're looking for peace. Whether it's peace with letting go of a bad habit, or it's peace for anxiety, or it's peace for changes at work or a relationship, it's people really looking for greater peace. And that peace in my mind really is a form of decluttering, right? It's finding a way to kind of let go of the noise. Hypnosis, the practice of it is very decluttering-ish. Because the whole process of putting someone in a state of hypnosis is really an opportunity for them to just let go of all the extraneous thoughts. The process of being in a state of hypnosis takes you to this deep point of focus that you can really focus on something much more deeply, and kind of everything else just kind of floats away for the time being. And so I think that part of the reason why I love the process of hypnosis, and I love bringing my clients into that state, you know, and I get a little of it too, as I take them into that state, is that wonderful joy of being able to just be present with the one thing that we are working on and not needing to listen to all the other noise. You know, we have so much noise in our lives. I think we have like 30,000 messages a day or something like that, that we run into. I don't really know that, well, let's put it this way. I don't think that the human body or mind was evolved with expecting this much noise,
right,
in our system. And so finding ways to focus, finding ways to let go of the extra, finding ways to declutter, finding ways to, you know, just take even a few minutes to not think so much is really helpful, because I don't think we were sort of designed for this. I think we're coping pretty well, but I don't think we were designed for this.
No, we aren't. We're way too sensitive to be able to discern what we want to bring in and what needs to go through. And maybe not even through, right? Because through, unless you're really good at clearing yourself energetically, through's not as good as well. Look, you also have this added piece in your expertise of of coaching, of executive coaching. Mm-hmm. So in this, in these, with these people that are inundated with information and they have limited time because, you know, of this thing that's weird called work-life balance. I hope that a different term, like I've heard like the harmonious.
I think harmony is a better description of how people are pushed to live these days.
Right. Right. With this added bonus of you doing this and working with knowing that there are so many people who are inundated, right? On the executive coaching side, how do you help people declutter or hone in or prioritize? Because that's all the same as, that's all part of decluttering.
It's a matter of asking the right questions, usually. It's a matter of asking the right questions. It's a matter of helping somebody to verbalize or to just acknowledge as they reflect on my questions that there is more wisdom within them, and helping them to show themselves what that wisdom is. Because a lot of times on the stuff that I'm coaching people on, it's not stuff that people don't really know. My hypnosis work tends to like bring up surprises. People will discover that something is connected to something and be very surprised. On the executive coaching side, it's really just that people kind of get so immersed in the cloud of all the noise and all of the inputs and, you know, what my boss thinks, what my coworker thinks, what my home life thinks, like putting all of these things together, they don't know how to figure it out. And I can ask questions slowly, easily, that help them to see the light, to see how things are connected in a way that they didn't see before. So, I mean, like a simple example was working with someone a long time back. And it was pretty obvious to me, like within moments of starting this conversation, that he had a new employee and what he needed was a way to review the employee in 90 days to determine the employee's what they had learned and that kind of a thing. But he had not done a 90-day review or a 90-day plan with a client before. And somehow he just hadn't, like the aha hadn't hit him yet.
Right.
And so my coaching with him was all really just getting him to realize that, hey, do a 90-day review. It'll solve the problem. But sometimes people can use a helper to be able to see those things, even things that are kind of in front of you, but for whatever reason, it's like they're veiled. And that's what executive coaching can do for people.
I love that. I love that so much. Between the two, the thing that I love is that there's no such thing as being anxious after a hypnosis session, you know? So you get the coaching, you get one thing from the coach, right? You boil it down to the one thing to focus on, and then you get this lovely hypnosis, and then you come out feeling good. I mean, what's there not to love?
There's kind of nothing not to love. Right. Do you have anything else you want to share with our audience today about decluttering?
Yeah. So the thing that's really interesting about decluttering for me is that a lot of clutter comes from a miscommunication or disagreement between someone's emotions and someone's analysis. All right. And so it's okay if you don't come to terms between your emotions and analysis. You can stop and say, oh, I'm just feeling emotional right now, and be emotional. And then you can come back to center. And that's actually part of decluttering as well. Instead of continuing this, you know, bickering back and forth between head and heart. The other thing that I want to remind people is there is a bridge between the emotion and analysis, and that is your intuition, because intuition needs both in order to communicate and actually speaks both their languages. And so it's very important to trust your intuition. And that's, you know, that's a different story. So those are my two little pieces of information. What about you?
I just want to make sure people know that if they need help with decluttering their mind, And that can include emotions and it can include behaviors, because sometimes behaviors come out of all that misalignment in the other pieces. That, you know, hypnosis might be a good technique if they haven't ruled it out yet. It's worth a try. What do you have coming up, Cynthia? What should our listeners know about that's coming up from you?
Ooh, we actually have something going on in common that we can talk about, which is the spiritual What the Fuck fair coming up April 28th. And we're both speakers. And the thing that I love is that we're not speakers, we're experienced guides. Is that what it's being?
Guides or leaders? I'm not sure.
Yeah, experienced leaders. I think it's experienced leaders, which is very exciting to me because I don't like speaking for an hour at a time. So I'm very excited about that. And it's in Walnut Creek, California. So if you're local, come check it out, or let's have the information in the show notes. And I'm doing a collaboration with Santana Deluce. We do this thing called Spiritual Spa Experience, where it's a 90-minute event. And trust me, 90 minutes is all you want, of a combination of intuitive readings, channeled messages from the fifth dimension, and then an immersion through sound healing. So that's what I've got coming up. And those come up both online and in person twice a month. So what do you have, my friend?
I have my monthly Nourish and Flourish coming up, free group hypnosis online on a Friday from 12 to 12:45 Pacific. You can sign up for it on my website on the classes page. It's different Friday every month, usually second or third, but you can find the dates and the registration link there. And I have a class coming up, following up on my last class, SOS Stop Overeating Sugar. My next class is Think More, Drink Less, Hypnosis Ooh. To Decrease Alcohol Consumption. So for people who are curious to see how hypnosis can work for this, I've had great success with a number of clients. And so I'm going to put this into a class coming up in late April.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Well,
thank you, audience. Thank you, Cynthia, for another great day here on Mind Power Meets Mystic. You will find us again next week, and we look forward to seeing your rating, review, and subscription and sign up. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to Mind Power Meets Mystic.